The reading for today is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And it's up there. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Come on, Andy, and come and share God's word with us for today. And I pray for you first.
I'd love you to.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our brother Andy. We thank you for his preparations and mostly for the love he has for you. And we love to share life with him. Lord, will you give him all that he needs to bring your word to us today, and just give him the time back later with his wife, Jane. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So we said to the children that the baby Jesus was born on Christmas Day so that everyone, each and every single one of us, could have the opportunity to be brought into God's eternal family. Because Christmas is about families, isn't it? Even people who aren't Christians spend Christmas time, Christmas season, with their families. It is about family. And family is an institution that's ordained by God. And it's an example for us of the way that God orders things. Everything from God is orderly. And it has structure. And you think about family and the basis of family. The whole framework of family is love, isn't it? This loving relationship. And a good family is a place where you can grow. And I don't just mean children. Because a family is a place where you can make mistakes. You can develop. It's a place of safe relationships. It's also a place of status. It's a place of security, and it's a place of legitimacy. I want us to think about these things. If my family is anything to go about or to be guided by, family is also noisy and it's messy. And I was going to say fun, but either when we were praying or when Tracy was praying, she used the word joy. And I think you can be joyous even when it's all, when you're not having fun. And that is family. I've got a big family. I've got four children who, praise the Lord, have all left home. But when they were young, very often I was working over Christmas, over doing nights. And I would come home early in the morning and find that they'd still been up since silly o'clock, just waiting to open their presents. And their mother had said, "No, you've got to wait till Dad comes home before you can open your presents." And I'd tease them and I'd say, "Before anything happens, I need a cup of tea." I got home one morning, opened the door, and there they were, cup of tea, all ready for me to drink. And I've got wonderful memories. I'd be dragged out of bed early in the afternoon for my breakfast, which was turkey and all the trimmings and Christmas pud. And then we'd have games. And the last thing that I wanted to do on Christmas evening was go back to work. And I know that you'll have similar memories. And some of you, I'm thinking of Ben and Beth, you're in the process, aren't you, of creating those memories now. Those of us that are older, certainly for myself, I start to think more about Christmases gone past. And I was sharing with Catherine earlier that this year it's just Jane and I and her mum and dad. And we're not sure if we're really going to like it. I think we're going to have to do a bit of visiting around to see grandchildren. You're all right. You're all right. It's an experience that we want. We might contact you next year. It's an experience we want to relish, but we're not sure we're going to enjoy it because it's going to be so quiet. But I think it's true that the older you get, the more melancholy Christmas becomes because you think back to memories and to people who are no longer with you. And so Christmas can be a sad time. And, you know, thinking of Jesus and why Jesus was born as a baby into the world, through him, through faith in him and his death on the cross, we have this opportunity, every single one of us, to be brought into, adopted into a family that's going to last for all eternity. And there's going to be no melancholy, no sadness. Nobody missing. Everybody is going to be there together with God, with the Lord. And whatever wonderful experiences we have in this world, they're going to be nothing in comparison with the glory and the riches that we will have in eternity. All we have to do is believe in the promises of God. It sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? But we're not called to believe like children believe in Father Christmas and fairies and elves. We're called to believe with a maturity that gives us an understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done. And that's a very difficult thing to do because we're called upon to believe in profound spiritual truths, truths which are beyond our human capacity to actually comprehend fully. And that's where the Bible is so wonderful, the Word of God open to us, because the Bible helps us to understand. It gives us models like family, pictures and illustrations that will give us every reason why we ought to believe that the Word of God, the promises of God are true. And this morning, I want us to look at this model of family through the role that Joseph had in Jesus' family. Because Joseph did two things that I want to look at. He married Mary and he adopted Jesus. But Joseph himself is a wonderful model of Christian attitude for us. We don't know much about Joseph. We know he was a carpenter. We're told that in Mark's Gospel. And Matthew tells us here in verse 19 that he was a righteous man. It says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So not only was he a righteous man, we know that he was a good, kind, gentle man. Imagine what he must have been feeling. But he didn't act in anger. He didn't act rashly. We're told that he considered the matter. And I don't doubt that he prayed. Because he was a man of faith. He was a man of faith. And we know that he was a man of faith because ultimately he did what he was told to do. And if you read verse 24, it says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Jesus. So I want to think about why it was important for Joseph to be obedient, to act in faith, to marry Mary and to adopt Jesus. Because if we can understand the models, the pictures that we're given here, they are wonderful illustrations of profound spiritual truths of the relationship that Christians have with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Marriage and adoption. So why was it important for Joseph to marry Mary? Well, quite simply, it gave her the security of a family. It gave her status, it gave her respectability, and it gave that status and respectability, that legitimacy, to her child. Simply, and that's why it was so important for Joseph to marry Mary. He gave Mary and Jesus this legitimacy and this security by bringing them into his family, giving them his family name. They were brought into Joseph's family. Now, my father is a man called Stephen Crawford. He's a mechanic. And it's doubtful whether he ever knew of my existence. And I don't actually know if he's alive today. But none of that matters. I brought my marriage certificate in. Oh, no, that's my photograph of my dad. Where's my marriage certificate? Bear with me. I did bring my marriage certificate in. I can't find it, but if anybody wants to check what I'm about to say, you can look at it. My marriage certificate states that my father is John Stanley Bryant Simons. That's who my father is. That's what the record says. Through adoption, I was brought into John Simons' family. I'm John Simons' son, his eldest son. Not only did he give me his family name, but he continued a family tradition, and he's given me a middle name that he had, Bryant. His name was John Stanley Bryant Simons, and my name is Andrew John Bryant Simons. And my three sons have each been given that family tradition. You see, my sons, my family, are now part of John Simons' family, part of John Simons' line. That is our heritage. That's our security. That's our legitimacy. And you see, that is an important spiritual principle. There is love, marriage, adoption, marriage and adoption are issues of love, aren't they? But they're also legal issues. They secure the love. And they give us a real spiritual truth of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, through marriage, or the picture of marriage, we are shown what we have in the Lord, in the Lord Jesus. It's a spiritual picture for us. Please forgive me, I'm completely lost in my notes. There was a point I wanted to make. Okay, I want to talk about the importance of marriage to God and Jesus' teaching. Let's think about Jesus' teaching and the importance of the picture of marriage. Jesus said, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Now, if we go to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and if we can have it up, chaps, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, from verse 25, Paul uses Jesus' words here in teaching about the church. He says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Do you see what Paul is telling us? That the church is the bride of Christ.
It's a spiritual picture. A Christian is married to Jesus. It's a legal contract. It's a relationship of love. But that relationship of love is sealed officially. We've been brought into the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been given the family name. And if we go to John chapter 17, where Jesus prayed for his disciples, and that includes us, Jesus prayed for his disciples just before he was crucified. If we go to John 17, verse 11, this is what he prayed. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that we may be one, they may be one, as we are one. Do you see the profound spiritual truth that we're given? Through faith, through believing in the promises of God. If you're a Christian, you're married to Christ. You're brought into the Father's family. It's absolutely wonderful. So Joseph married Mary and he adopted Jesus. He gave Mary's baby the name Jesus, as the angel told him to. But he also gave Jesus the family name. Joseph was a son of David. And so by adopting Jesus, Jesus also officially became a son of David. And God had always promised that the Messiah, the Christ, would come through the line of David. And the original promise had been given to David's forefather, Abraham. And Abraham is the father of our faith, isn't he? And just because Abraham believed God, God promised Abraham that you will have offspring as numerous as the stars in the sky, as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Spiritual offspring. Christians today. Christians through all the generations. Christians for however long the world is going to exist. Numerous, numerous descendants that were promised to Abraham. Spiritual descendants through faith in the ultimate seed, the ultimate offspring, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Through faith in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the spirit of adoption, as we were telling the children. The spirit that within the Christian cries, Abba, Father. So we're reborn. That's why we call it a new creation. We're reborn into a spiritual kingdom, a spiritual family. It's wonderful. I just want to say, just give you a quote from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 to 6. This is what Paul says. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. If you're a Christian, Jesus is your older brother. It actually tells us that in Hebrews, if you look it up. It's almost, it sounds blasphemous to say it, doesn't it? But the King of Kings, very God of very God, is our eldest brother. We're heirs with him. We've been brought into the Father's family. We've been adopted into that same wonderful family. And adoption and marriage are legal exercises. I keep losing my notes this morning, but they are legal transactions. So love is supreme, isn't it? We know love is supreme. We think about a family, a good family. No matter what, we love one another. And we know that love is supreme. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. But love Love is sealed. True love is sealed officially and legally. That's why people still get married today. That's why people want to commit their love in a contract that can't easily be broken. Do you see, that is the proof of true love. I want to be united to you for the rest of my life. I don't want to get out of this binding contract. That's why people still get married today in this modern age. And that was Joseph's problem, wasn't it? Mary was pledged to him in marriage. And he knew he couldn't just dump her. There were going to be consequences. And that was his issue. That was his problem. He couldn't wriggle out of it. It's a binding contract. Adoption is a binding contract. There's no going back. There's no going back. And marriage is a binding contract. And if those are binding contracts in human terms, how much more in spiritual terms? If that contract has been initiated and secured by the death and the resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, it's absolutely phenomenal. But that's what you have if you're a Christian. You are adopted into the family of Jesus. And you're married into the family of the Father as well. And ultimately, in eternity, in heaven, the only question that is going to be of any importance whatsoever is, whose family do you belong to? What's the Father's name on your marriage certificate to prove who you are married to? But here in this world, we know whether or not we're in the family because of the family likeness. The family likeness. My sister, Claire, has been very, very ill this year. And I used to go and see her in a hospice. And one thing that I used to try to do was to make her smile. Well, one day when I went and saw her, I made her laugh. I'd been speaking to the hospice chaplain, and I told her that Claire was my sister. And she said, oh, I can see the family likeness. I said, no, you can't. She said, I can see the family likeness. I said, no, you can't. She said, yes, I can see Claire in you. I said, you can't. I was adopted. And she said, I can see the family likeness. I can see Claire in you. She said, there's nature and there's nurture. So I went back to Claire and I said, the chaplain can see our family likeness. And it actually made her chuckle. It made her laugh. And that was a huge compliment to me. But what is so much more important is that the family likeness, the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, is seen in me. And he is seen in me, whether I like it or not, as he's seen in each and every single one of you in whom he dwells. Because there's a sense in which we don't control the Spirit of Jesus within us. If you're born again, he will grow within you and you will bear spiritual fruit. And I've got a horrible feeling that I've missed half my sermon. But have I covered adoption and have I covered marriage? Then I think that's all that matters. What has happened to my notes this morning? But there's another biblical quote that I just wanted to quote. When we think about the promises of God and the reasons to believe, there's a lovely verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. So all we have to do is believe. And if we will get into our Bibles, the Bible will give us every single reason to believe. I don't know what's happened this morning. It's obviously the Lord giving me the right words. Must be. But I just wanted to finish with this lovely verse. Verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people, his family, from their sins. Lovely, lovely. So I pray that we will have a blessed Christmas as the family here. I'm sure I was going to say something about loving you all. I can't remember. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Abba Father, the God and Father of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, we lift our hearts to you in adoration and praise and thanksgiving. For you, the Lord and Judge of all the earth, have brought us by faith into your own family through Jesus Christ, your Son, and his wonderful sacrifice. So we thank you and praise you and ask you to help us to appreciate and to live the reality of your Holy Spirit living within us. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our King. Amen.